king.
There were others? Seth exclaimed.
Several, over the millennia,
the somber knight said.
Former dragon kings seldom survive the challenge that takes their crown. Dromedus was an anomaly. He stepped down without a fight. The only dragon king to abdicate. The dragons considered it unspeakably shameful. Dromedus went from the pinnacle all the way to the bottom. I have never met him, but he was close to the wizards who established Wormroost. Dromedus may have knowledge of the hidden scepter.
Doesn't Agate know? Seth asked. Or Marat? No way, Kendra said. They didn't know why the medallion was weak, or they would already be looking for the scepter.
Agate became caretaker long after Wormroost was founded,
the somber knight said.
He was the fourth caretaker. Wizards love their secrets. It is possible he never knew the medallion derived power from a hidden scepter. If he did know, then you were set up to become caretakers and to discover this knowledge on your own, so you would be forced to decide how to proceed without external influence, thereby assuming responsibility for all the associated risks and perils.
You're good with conspiracy theories, Seth said.
I don't hide from unpleasant possibilities,
the somber knight replied.
I embrace them. Some call it pessimism. I see it as an advantage.
It's somber, at least, Kendra said. How do we find Dromedus?
Should you choose to visit him, it will be at your own risk,
the somber knight said.
I cannot guarantee your safety. An endorsement from me would harm your chances. I have slain too many of their kind for any dragon to trust me.
Fair enough, Seth said. Where do we go?
Have you a map?
The somber knight asked. After a smug glance at Kendra, Seth removed a map from his satchel and unfolded it. The somber knight beckoned them closer. He used a finger to trace a road called the Winding Way, away from Terrabel. His finger left the road, sliding south, and then tapped a spot.
You will find a grove of giant sequoias here,
the somber knight said.
Descend through the trap door near the center.
And we'll meet Dromedus? Seth asked.
For better or for worse,
the somber knight said. Isn't it dangerous to leave the road? Kendra asked.
It is dangerous to visit me,
the somber knight said.
I have not heard a kind word in many years, or seen a smile.
We like you, Seth said, giving a big smile.
I could slay you where you stand,
the somber knight said.
I am an executioner, and you have come to my domain. This sword has tasted the blood of thousands.
I'm trying to stay positive, Seth said, his smile faltering.
This sanctuary is not a comfortable place for mortals,
the somber knight said,
let alone for children. But you are burdened by duty. You came here for counsel. If you wish to stand against the Dragon King, finding the hidden scepter would help. You could get killed on the way to Dromedus. Upon arrival, Dromedus could harm or kill you, though of any dragon I know, he seems the least violent. Should you survive, you may not learn what you hope to know. If you do, you could perish searching for the scepter. You could also lose the scepter to the Dragon King and hasten the fall of Blackwell Keep.
I think that covers all the terrible things that could happen, Seth said.
Speaking broadly,
the somber knight said.
It would be difficult to number every horrific way you could die.
Cheerful, Seth said, using a pencil to mark the spot the somber knight had shown them on the map. Thanks for the tip. Anything else we should remember? Kendra asked. The somber knight stood, towering over them, and raised his sword in front of his helmet.
In spite of your youth and the near certainty of failure, I salute your efforts to fulfill your responsibility to protect Wormroost.
Bringing a hand to his brow, Seth saluted back. And we salute you for sitting here in the dark all these years, waiting to help. The somber knight gave a small bow, then sat back down on his throne.
Do not trouble yourselves about my plight. Mine has ever been a thankless post. Go, young ones. Travel well. Live as long as fortune permits.
Chapter 18. Off the Road. Henrik stood in a private room with Seth and Kendra, muscular arms folded across his broad chest, scowling in thought.
I don't know,
the Al-Sator said.
I have orders to bring you kids directly back to Blackwell Keep.
But you see why we might need to change the plan, Seth said. If we have a chance to find the scepter, we have to go after it.
Technically, we are the caretakers, Kendra reminded the Al-Sator. And technically, the orders you receive from others are advice. Seth and I give the real orders.
Henrik uncrossed his arms, then refolded them. He looked stumped. They were in a small, fancy room Dalgarel had loaned them. The smaller the room, the less Henrik looked like he belonged. The moose portions of his body made him so big that he had to maneuver carefully to avoid toppling the furniture.
I admit you are the caretakers, Henrik said after a pause, but the job of your advisors and staff is to keep you alive. Sometimes that fundamental duty might even supersede your orders. The somber knight is sending you into precarious territory. To get to the grove, I'll have to lead you off the road and into the wild. Your safety will be in jeopardy.
We know, Seth said, exasperated. The somber knight explained every horrible possibility.
And you still want to move forward? Henrik asked,
looking from Seth to Kendra.
You're united in this decision.
I think so, Kendra said. I mean, if we go back to Blackwell Keep to discuss it with everyone, we just lose time. And what if Grandma and Grandpa try to stop us from going to Dromedas? It needs to happen. We have to find that scepter.
Henrik furrowed his brow.
If Dromedas would reveal the location to anyone, it would be the caretakers. Also, your youth might play on his sympathies. I'm not sure anyone else could approach him with a realistic chance of success. But you two have been placed in my care. My area of expertise is traveling this sanctuary, and in these tumultuous times, I must strongly advise against leaving the roads or protected areas.
But,
Seth prompted him. Henrik sighed.
But this is an emergency. I can see the sense in your argument. The gamble may be justified. It would also be risky not to pursue the scepter. I respect you for wanting to protect the sanctuary. If you are united in this decision, I will respect your authority to make it. I will guide you to the Sequoia Grove and do my best to keep you alive.
Yes, Seth said, pumping a fist. That's all we wanted to hear.
Kendra produced the unicorn horn. Is it all right if I talk to Bracken first? Since we can't reach anybody else, I want to get his opinion before moving forward.
Come on, Seth complained. What good is that going to do? He can't be objective. You're his favorite. He won't want you in danger.
He's seen me in danger before, Kendra said. Coming here in the first place was dangerous. I just want his input.
Bad idea, Seth said. We know what needs to happen. We should go do it.
Maybe I'd also just like to talk to him, Kendra said. You know, in case something bad happens.
Wow, you really want to jinx us, don't you? Seth exclaimed. Want me to reserve a couple of coffins, just in case?
Can I have some privacy? Kendra demanded.
Tell him hi for me, Seth said. I'll go find my tiny hero.
Seth left the room. Henrik followed him to the door, stepping carefully to pass between a chair and a sofa.
Please apologize to Bracken for me, the Alcitor said. I spoke against him when he visited, but he uncovered a pair of traitors for us. Tell him that I wish him well.
Henrik ducked through the door and closed it. Kendra held the horn tightly. Bracken, she projected with her mind. Can you hear me?
Sure, Kendra, came the reply. I wondered when you would reach out. I tried to contact you before I went to bed, but I couldn't get an answer.
I've kept the horn with me, Kendra assured him. You must have tried when we were riding horses.
Are you exploring the sanctuary? Bracken asked with alarm. That might not be a great idea. The rebellion is heating up. It's happening at all seven sanctuaries. The unrest seems coordinated, and it keeps getting uglier. Truces are breaking. People are dying.
We need something to stabilize the defenses at Wormroost, Kendra said. Nobody can hear us, right?
I'm shielding our thoughts, Bracken said.
Celebrant ripped off part of Blackwell Keep. The defense is held, but they're vulnerable. We need a scepter. One of seven that creates safe places at the sanctuary. Seth and I have a lead. It looks like we're the only good guys who can retrieve it. If Celebrant got to it first, we'd be doomed. I think we need to go after it.
Is your grandfather in agreement?
We haven't had a chance to ask him. We're with the Fair Folk. As the new caretakers, we had to pay them a visit.
Not bad looking, are they?
Bracken commented knowingly. Kendra felt her cheeks grow warm. Why was she suddenly feeling guilty? She hadn't done anything wrong. Could he sense her emotions from the other side of the world? Probably not. He was only supposed to sense what she deliberately sent to him.
I guess so, she finally replied. Can you check with your grandfather first?
Not without going back to Blackwell Keep. I think this needs to happen. Seth does too. Henrik confirmed that he'll take us if we both agree. He sends greetings, by the way.
Henrik is smart, Bracken expressed. So are you. Do what you think is right. But don't take a single unnecessary risk. Things are getting messy at the sanctuaries. I'm sorry you got drawn into this.
You got pulled into stuff too, Kendra replied. Are you all right?
I've been better. I'm in a cave for the night, high on a mountainside. I'm trying to track Ronadin. Soaring Cliffs is in a sorry state. Several dragons are rampaging. Only locations protected by magic are secure.
Celebrant seems ready to wage war.
Those defenses might be your only hope, Bracken thought to her. If finding the scepter will make those defenses hold, it is probably worth the trouble. But don't press your luck. Get the scepter and then get back to the keep. I have a feeling this is just the beginning.
Thanks for the advice, Kendra replied. Stay safe.
You too. My mother has connected the new fairy realm to the fairy shrine at Wormroost, so when I finish here I can come to you that way.
Good news!
Hope to see you soon. I want to help.
I know, Kendra assured him. I wish I could help you, too.
Help me by surviving. Be smart. Don't underestimate yourself. Tell Seth not to overestimate himself. And say hello to Henrik. He has integrity. Trust the good people helping you. I'll come as soon as I can.
Goodbye, Bracken.
Bye.
The communication ended.
She had felt as if she were right next to Bracken, their thoughts flowing easily to one another, and suddenly she was alone in a room, holding a pearly horn. Putting away the horn, Kendra went in search of Henrik and her brother. With help from a servant, Seth found Eve in her room. She turned from where she sat at a small table, her expression guilty, a smear of yellow pudding at the corner of her lips. "What are you up to?" Seth asked. She wiped the pudding away with the back of her hand.
"Hi, Seth. I was just introducing Calvin to my favorite dessert."
Seth approached the table and found Calvin stripped down to a pair of shorts, wading in a bowl of pudding. He smiled up at Seth and waved.
"Look what I found!"
"I see you've been hard at work," Seth said.
"Oh, come on!" Calvin exclaimed. "Are you telling me you would pass up the chance to swim in a pond of delicious vanilla custard?"
"Probably not," Seth admitted.
"Taste it," Calvin suggested. "I'm serious. It's in a class by itself."
Eve handed Seth a spoon.
"You really should."
"Your feet are in it," Seth said.
"I washed up before entering," Calvin said. "I didn't want to taste my feet either. Scoop from over there,"
he pointed.
"I haven't spent any time on that side of the bowl."
Seth tried a bite of custard. It was really good. Sweet and cool and creamy.
"If I could shrink down, I would join you," Seth said. "Where's Tanu when I need him?"
"Tanu?"
Eve asked.
"My friend," Seth said. "A potion master. He can make a shrinking potion."
Eve clapped.
"Bring him sometime. That would be spectacular."
"Take one last taste," Seth told Calvin. "We have to go save the sanctuary."
"Aren't we returning to Blackwell Keep?"
Calvin asked. He scrambled up the side of the bowl, no small feat at his size. Without pause, he dangled from the rim and dropped to the table.
"Nope," Seth said. "We're going to find a dragon called Dromedus."
"No, you're not,"
Eve said jealously.
"The oldest dragon at Wormroost? Are you serious?"
"He might have info that will help us," Seth explained, her amazement increasing his pride about the whole endeavor.
Eve stomped a foot.
"That is unfair. I've lived at a dragon sanctuary my whole life, and I've never even seen a dragon." "Never?"
Calvin asked as he got dressed.
"Don't they fly over sometimes?"
Seth wondered.
"They steer away from this valley," Eve said, "and I'm not allowed to leave it."
"You have time," Seth said. "You're only, what, 12?
"So?" Eve said. "That's a long time, and there are hardly any other kids my age."
"How come?" Seth asked.
"Almost no babies are being born anymore," she said. "Nobody is sure why."
"If nobody is having babies, won't the fair folk eventually become extinct?" Seth wondered.
Eve laughed.
"No, the fair folk age more slowly when we reach adulthood, much more slowly. We'll be around for a long time, but I probably still won't get to see a dragon. Imagine being a kid stuck at a dragon sanctuary with a bunch of adults and never seeing a dragon."
"That would be torture," Seth had to admit.
If he were in her situation, he was pretty sure he would find a way to sneak a peek.
"And then some mortal kid comes along who gets to talk to a dragon his third day here."
"On the second day, I was attacked by the Dragon King," Seth said. "And I've seen dragons before. And a hydra. A bunch of demons, too."
Eve grabbed the front of his shirt.
"I want your life! Take me with you!"
Seth glanced at Calvin, who sheepishly shrugged.
"I can't," Seth apologized. "Your dad would be furious. What about your neutrality?"
Eve released his shirt.
"The neutrality is stupid. Lots of us think so, but nobody admits it. Only Lomo had the guts to do something about it, and we locked him up."
"You agree with Lomo?" Seth asked.
"Of course," Eve said. We're not part of the world. It's so boring here. I want to do something, see something. Smuggle me out. I'll be a big help.
Is she serious? Seth asked Calvin.
I think so, the Nipsey said.
Everyone will watch us leave, Seth said. It won't work. Wait for me outside of town, Eve said. I'll catch up. I'll bring a horse and everything.
Seth appreciated what she wanted. He saw her genuine eagerness. He could relate to how she felt.
I just can't, Eve. Your dad helped us. We want him on our side. Henrik would never allow it.
You're the caretaker, Eve said. Tell Henrik to obey. My dad can't do anything to you. He's neutral. He'll just send people to get me. Hopefully they won't catch up before I meet a dragon, and maybe see some other wonders. I'm still a kid. I won't get a big punishment. The dungeon for a while at worst, if Dad decides to make an example of me. But the dungeon is nice. If I apologize, I may not even get that.
Your dad could stop helping us, Seth said. He's the reason we went to the Somber Night and found out about Dromedus in the first place. You're right that I'm the caretaker, and I have to be a good one. Kendra and I need to visit Dromedus as part of our job. You'd just be coming for fun. What if you get killed? I can't risk that.
Eve pouted.
You have reasons to go. Good for you. But don't pretend you aren't excited to meet Dromedus. I can tell.
I'm excited, Seth admitted.
I wish I was caretaker, Eve said. I wish I had an excuse to have adventures.
Careful what you wish for, Seth said. This might get us killed.
At least you will have lived,
Eve replied sulkily.
I wish I could bring you,
Seth said. Maybe someday.
Really?
Eve asked.
I hope so, Seth said. As long as there is still a sanctuary to see.
Having bid farewell to Lord Dalgarel, Kendra, Seth, and Henrik cantered away from Terabel. Mendigo rode behind Kendra, and Calvin was safely stowed in Seth's pocket. They left the valley by a different road than they had used to enter. The sun had already fallen below the mountains, and the light was fading from the sky. Seth kept looking back at the city. Part of him wondered if Eve would appear on a horse.
The winding way would eventually bring us to the Zawali Protectorate, Henrik said. Perhaps someday you can visit the realm of the talking animals, but we'll leave the road well before arriving there.
Will the darkness help cover us? Kendra asked.
From some creatures and some dragons, Henrik said. Others will see us better than we can see them. We have to move fast. I have ranged far and wide on this preserve. I will use all my experience to protect us.
Do we have any protections as caretakers? Seth asked.
Some inherent protections come with the office, Henrik said. But you have also killed a dragon at this sanctuary. You entered her lair and initiated the conflict. That act forfeited much of your protection. You do have one other important advantage. Celebrant appears to want you as caretakers when he stages his rebellion. If you died, a new caretaker would be selected. He might hesitate to kill you.
Marat told me Celebrant can't get the medallion by killing me, Seth said.
Correct, Henrik said. Upon your demise, the medallion will teleport back to Blackwell Keep. Same if you command it to return. Celebrant knows this. That feature may not save your life, but it could give the Dragon King less reason to capture or kill you.
As they rode up to a pass out of the valley, Seth kept looking back.
I don't think she's coming,
Calvin said. The words surprised Seth because they came from near his ear. The Nipsey had apparently climbed from his pocket to his shoulder.
Are you going to fall? Seth asked.
I know my limits, Calvin said. This is easy.
Do you think Eve really would have tried to meet us if I had agreed? Seth asked.
I don't think she was bluffing, Calvin said.
She seemed adventurous, Seth said.
pretty girl,
Calvin added offhandedly.
Don't be gross, Seth asked.
You didn't notice?
Calvin asked.
Maybe a little, Seth said, but that isn't why I liked her.
That may change in a year or two,
Calvin said.
Trust me on this.
Isn't she a little big for you?
Seth asked.
I already found my true love,
Calvin said.
Serena. Besides, Eve is too young. I'm tiny but fully grown.
Serena is with the other Nipsies?
Seth asked.
No,
Calvin said.
I wish. She left with a group trying to research the Nipsey curse several years ago. Never came back.
Several years ago? Seth asked. How old is she?
I'm older than I look,
Calvin said.
Nipsies age like the fair folk. Everything slows down in our late teens. Many magical beings age more slowly than mortals.
I've noticed, Seth said. Do you think Serena is all right?
I worry,
Calvin said.
She has to be in trouble, or she would have returned. In my heart, I believe she is alive. We share a special connection. I would feel it if she perished.
Do you know where she went? Seth asked.
All I know is she left Fablehaven,
Calvin said.
Can she do that without permission?
Seth asked.
I did,
Calvin said.
The wizards who designed these preserves didn't really plan on people smaller than fairies. We tend to escape notice.
Do you want to find her? Seth asked.
I would like that very much,
Calvin said.
I'm always paying attention. I hope that breaking the curse will help.
I hope so too, Seth said.
They rode through the pass, leaving the valley behind. Stars appeared as the light expired. The night became colder as they rode on. A moon rose, silvering the edges of clouds and occasionally peeking through. The surrounding wilderness remained mostly obscured in shadow. No artificial light brightened the forests and slopes around them. Bulky shapes loomed in the dimness, recognizable only as trees or boulders from just the right angle or in close proximity. Seth wished he could see what creatures were hiding in the darkness. At least Kendra had really good night vision. Hopefully she would provide an early warning if trouble showed up. The winding way stayed true to its name, curving around obstacles in the rough terrain and climbing or descending steep slopes and serpentine switchbacks. The horses alternated between a swift trot and a gentle, loping pace. Once, in the distance, Seth heard a low, tremendous roaring. Another time, he heard an otherworldly screech, echoing down from high in the night sky. At a point where trees lined both sides of the road, some of the branches interlocking overhead, Henrik came to a stop.
"We can leave the road here," he said. "The trees will provide cover."
"Great," Seth said. He patted his horse's neck. "How are you holding up, Noble?"
The horse gave a single stamp.
"Luvians are tireless as long as you don't push too long at a full gallop," Henrik said. "One thing disturbs me. No dragons."
"Is that a problem?" Kendra asked.
"Dragons openly watched us much of the way here," Henrik said. "I assume it was mostly a form of intimidation, but I haven't sensed a dragon high or low since leaving Terrabel. Either they are no longer watching us, or else they want us to think they are no longer watching us."
"Uh-oh,"
Seth said.
"They were expecting us to go to Terrabel," Henrik said. "Maybe they assumed we would return to Blackwell Keep and stopped watching. Or maybe they saw us depart along an unexpected route and started watching stealthily."
"Dragon ambush," Seth said.
"Or simple reconnaissance," Henrik replied. "Who knows? Our visit to Dalgarel was expected, but Celebrant would be very interested in our present movements. An ambush could be catastrophic.
We have not yet left the road. We can still turn back and head directly to the keep.
If we saw dragons, that would be a problem too, Kendra said. We already made this choice. Let's go.
Did you notice the dome on the ridge as we left Blackwell Keep? Henrik asked.
Yes, Seth said. I missed it, Kendra admitted.
It's a safe hut, Henrik said. The protections of Blackwell Keep extend to more than 50 such enclosures around Wormroost. They can even stand against dragons. They are marked on your map, Seth. I have been saved by a safe hut more than once. If you lose me somehow, get back on a road or find a safe hut and wait for rescue. The horses can guide you.
We have safe huts at Fablehaven, Seth said. I've used them.
I'm glad you're familiar with the idea, Henrik said. Noble, Glory, you remember the maps we looked at back at Terrabel?
Both horses gave a single stamp.
You understand our destination, Henrik checked.
The horses stamped again.
And the locations of the nearest safe huts along the route.
Again, the horses stamped.
Then with both caretakers in agreement, we should get moving, Henrik said.
He led the way off the road into the trees. Kendra showed no hesitation. Seth had seldom felt prouder of his sister.
Chapter 19 Bridges and Bears. Kendra, Seth, and Henrik trotted under the trees, a vague shadowland of contorted shapes. Underbrush rustled as the horses plunged forward in single file. Kendra knew she could see better than Seth, and probably better than Henrik, and still the shapes sliding past remained confusing. She kept her head down to avoid the grasping limbs. Vegetation swished against her legs. Henrik maintained a quick pace for a long while, finally slowing to a walk.
"We're being watched," Kendra whispered.
She could see eyes at the edge of the dimness.
"Perceptive," Henrik said. "Nothing to fret about. Just moss people, shy folk. Hiders, not fighters. We're about to lose the cover of trees for a time. Stay with me."
They emerged from the woods on a wide, grassy slope. The horses cantered downhill. After the gloom under the trees, the moonlit panorama looked bright. Kendra scanned the sky. Patches of clouds obscured many of the stars. She saw no dragons. Up ahead, the slope fell away into a ravine. A bridge spanned the gap, and another slope rose on the far side. As they approached the bridge, a lean form sprang up from underneath, blocking the way. The creature had a narrow chest and abdomen, but broad shoulders and long limbs. The heavy jaw and upturned tusks emphasized a pronounced underbite, and thorny spines covered the scaly scalp. The lanky figure stood nearly as tall as Henrik.
"Slow the pace, travelers," the figure announced. "This bridge has been claimed."
Henrik came to a stop, holding out a hand for Kendra and Seth to halt as well. Glory obeyed him before Kendra could react.
"Stand down," Henrik ordered. "This bridge is property of the sanctuary, accessible to all."
"Don't get lost in the past when we're standing in the present," the creature said. "I'm no historian. This bridge might have been common property long ago. Today, it has been claimed. Today it is mine."
"I am Henrik, son of..."
The creature waved away his words.
"I know who you are. I'm not new."
"Then you know I'm the gamekeeper of Wormroost," Henrik said.
The creature chuckled.
"Are you, or were you?"
"I am,"
Henrik said firmly, taking a single step forward.
"You know who I am?" the creature asked.
"I know your kind," Henrik said. "Stand down before this escalates."
"And what kind is that?" gate troll, Henrik replied. Sometimes called a bully troll. And here you come, subtle as a brick, threatening me on my bridge, the troll said. Price just went up. Way up.
I'm in no mood for play, Henrik said, his hand a blur as he pulled an arrow from his quiver and set it to the string of his bow. An axe appeared in the hand of the troll, and he lunged to the side of the bridge, where the railing provided some cover.
But you're the gamekeeper! Surely you like games!
Stand down and wait for easier prey, Henrik said. You're out of order.
Whose order? The troll asked. I heard the Dragon King is a new chief around here. Tore up Blackwell Keep. Not long now before he drives off the mortals. What rules will you enforce then? What status will you enjoy? Way I see it, the time of listening to you give orders has come to an end.
You stand before me armed, troll, impeding my way, Henrik said. I'll ask you a third time, then I let arrows fly.
That's so, the troll replied. Looking for a fight tonight, are you? Even with the precious cargo watching?
He looked past Henrik to Kendra and Seth.
I'm warning you, Grimp, Henrik said, pulling the arrow back, ready to fire.
Grimp crouched low, now mostly hidden behind the railing, his axe still visible, glinting in the moonlight.
You know my name! Is that supposed to impress me? Here you are, skulking about in the night. Two kids in tow, sanctuary on the brink of anarchy. You really want to fight? How fast can you kill me, Moose Man, before any kids get hurt? Before we raise a commotion? Don't you want to hear my terms?
Speak, Henrik said, arrow still ready.
Grimp licked his lips.
After you cross, the bridge belongs to me. Officially, not squatter's rights, not a claim, mine. Final word from the illustrious gamekeeper.
Unacceptable, Henrik said with a growl.
It costs you nothing, Grimp replied. I already claimed it. This bridge is almost never used by the Blackwell staff, and you won't be pretending to have a say over it much longer.
Unacceptable, Henrik repeated.
I'll throw in lifetime privileges, the troll said. You ever come back this way, cross as often as you like, with whoever accompanies you.
Not a chance, Henrik said.
One last offer, Grimp said. Tell me who is with you in your business tonight, on your honour, and you're free to pass.
I'm glad that was the last offer, Henrik said.
Are you sure you want a brawl rather than a negotiation? Grimp asked. Are you sure you can take me before they get hurt? Are you even sure you can take me?
Let's find out, Henrik said.
No counter-proposal? Grimp asked.
Sure. Move out of the way. 3, 2.
The troll lifted a tube to his lips. Kendra flinched, fearing it was a blowgun, but the troll ducked under the railing and slipped beneath the bridge. A long, low note sounded, a moaning call.
Ride!
Henrik yelled, bow still ready. Glory surged forward and Kendra hung on tight. Mendigo sat behind her, clattering and tinkling.
Protect us as needed, Mendigo! She called.
Galloping beside her brother, Kendra raced across the bridge. Henrik followed, bow still ready. Looking back, Kendra saw no sign of the troll, but the moaning call kept sounding.
Dire bears, Henrik said as he caught up. The scoundrel is calling dire bears. He knew he couldn't stand up against me in a fair fight. Trolls and their traps!
They started racing up the slope at the far side of the bridge. The way ahead was clear except for brush and bushes, with trees off to either side.
Dire bears sound bad, Seth said.
Bigger and more aggressive than any bear you know, Henrik said.
magically enhanced, huge and fierce. Several roam this area of the sanctuary.
Will they come? Kendra shouted.
Depends, Henrik said. If Grimp prepared correctly, he conditioned them by blowing the call and having fresh meat at the bridge.
A huge roar bellowed from off to one side.
Not good? Seth asked.
Glory, Noble, keep going toward the grove, Henrik said. I'll rejoin you later.
With an arrow still held ready, Henrik veered to the right toward the sound of the roar. Kendra watched in fear as a pair of bears the size of elephants stormed out of the forest. Grotesque spines bristled on their heads, backs, and shoulders, and vicious teeth showed when they roared again. Henrik ran straight at them, an arrow knocked and ready. He swerved as the nearest sprang at him, launching an arrow into the immense, shaggy beast. The attacking bear just missed the Alcitor, who circled around and released a second arrow into the hindquarters of the other dire bear. Glory continued to pound up the slope beside Noble. The weedy ground streaked by in a blur. Kendra realized that she could get really hurt just by falling. Glancing to the side and back, she saw that Henrik had succeeded in getting the hulking bears to chase him.
"Should we help him?" Seth called. "He wants us to get away," Kendra replied. "He told us he's fast. If we go back, we might endanger him more. Once we're clear, he can run."
"What about Mendigo?" Seth asked.
"Against the bears?" Kendra shouted. "I don't think he's big enough. He wouldn't even slow them."
Seth seemed satisfied. Kendra looked back again. Henrik was leading the dire bears toward the bridge. The bears were very fast, but his zigzagging path seemed to give them trouble. Turning was not their forte. Noble and Glory plunged into woodlands again, and Kendra could no longer see Henrik or the colossal bears. The deeper they fled into the trees, the more Kendra hoped the horses knew where they were going. She had no idea. After some time, they emerged from the woods. The horses ran along ridges and over hills. Racing through the night without Henrik kept Kendra on edge. The night sounds made her anxious, ominous hoots and chilling howls. What if they met more dire bears, or a dragon? As they cantered across a moonlit meadow, Kendra heard hoofbeats from behind. Turning, she was relieved to see Henrik catching up. Noble and Glory slowed without being told.
"We can pause here," Henrik said, coming to a stop.
Sweat glossed his torso, and he was panting. There were noticeably fewer arrows in his quiver. The horses halted as well.
"Are you all right?" Kendra asked.
"I got some exercise," Henrik said. "There were a few close calls."
"Those bears were enormous," Seth said.
"Dangerous beasts," Henrik agreed. "Savage, strong. My arrows were minor annoyances. But the dire bears lost interest in me after I outdistanced them."
"Should you have bargained with the troll?" Kendra asked.
"I wish I could have," Henrik said. "I didn't want to provoke violence, especially with you two present. But Grimp was testing his limits. As you witnessed, our authority is in question right now. If I had yielded to his demands, word would have spread quickly that we are on our way out and can be bought, that we back down under duress. It would have spawned much bigger problems in the future."
"Good thinking," Seth approved.
"Necessary thinking, if we want Wormroost to survive," Henrik said. "This sanctuary is a wild place under the best conditions. We already have enough enemies. We can't afford to lose our credibility."
"Are we getting close to Dromedus?" Kendra asked.
"Almost there," Henrik said. "This way."
Kendra and Seth followed Henrik to the edge of the meadow. They rode through some small trees and came out into a field. At the far side of the field,
Kendra saw a grove of sequoias towering in the moonlight. "That has to be it," Kendra said.
"I believe so,"
Henrik replied, eyes on the sky. Kendra looked up too, scanning for dragons. She saw only stars. The moon was slowly disappearing behind another cloud. They hurried to the redwoods. The grove included perhaps 50 trees spaced widely apart with little undergrowth between them. Deep, jagged grooves marred the rough bark of the thick trunks. At the center of the grove, they found a clearing. Toward the center of the clearing, a pair of what looked like cellar doors were flanked by large stones. The upright stones had flat surfaces that carried several inscriptions. Kendra could not read some of them. The rest repeated a single word. Welcome.
I see a lot of welcome, Seth said. What does the rest say?
Probably the same invitation in various languages, Henrik said. I can't read them all, but enough to guess.
Kendra dismounted and approached the stones.
I can read these.
She touched the legible words. Each welcome looked like English to her, though she knew several were being translated by her fairy kind abilities.
Welcome, Seth said, touching one that Kendra could read. And this, this too, and this.
Some of the inscriptions Seth indicated looked like gibberish to Kendra. As a shadow charmer, he could read some languages that remained foreign to her, but she knew that some of the languages she understood were illegible for him.
Impressive, Henrik said. Between the two of you, you can decipher most of the languages of the magical races. Highly unusual for mortals.
What if the stuff we can't read is the fine print? Seth asked.
Welcome to dinner. You are the main course.
The simple welcome message is ominous enough, Henrik said. One of the first rules of Wormroost is to let sleeping dragons lie. Don't stir up trouble with the most powerful predators in the magical world. Dragon lairs are never inviting, and yet this one has a clear invitation.
Like a spider web welcoming the flies, Kendra said.
You get the idea, Henrik replied, looking around. You two came to see Dromedus. We appear to be unobserved.
Are you coming with us? Kendra asked.
My presence would reduce your chances for help, Henrik said. Your vulnerability makes you more appealing. And inside the lair of a dragon, if he decided to kill you, there would be nothing I could do to stop him.
Would the dragon freeze you up? Seth wondered.
I can hold my own against a dragon, Henrik said. I can still move and speak. Otherwise, I would be an unfit gamekeeper. But the presence of a dragon is not comfortable. My preference is to run.
Kendra took Seth's hand.
I guess it's just us.
And me,
Calvin chirped from Seth's pocket.
I've never met a dragon.
Don't be surprised if you get frozen with fear, Seth said.
That's never happened to me before, Calvin said. Either I'll find out I'm as brave as I suspect, or I'll have a new experience. Good either way.
It might help if the dragon doesn't notice you, Calvin, Henrik said. They can concentrate their intimidation on a target.
The Alcitor crouched, grabbed one of the heavy wooden cellar doors, and heaved it open. A dim stairway yawned before them.
Nothing creepy about that, Seth said, peering down. Just an old basement in the middle of a forest, where a dragon lives.
What about Mendigo? Kendra asked.
I don't think the puppet can help you or harm you in this matter, Henrik said.
Mendigo, stand guard with Henrik, Kendra said. She smiled at her brother.
Shall we? Ready to fly into the spider web? Seth asked.
Let's not think of it like that, Kendra said.
Jumping into the cooking pot?
Calvin tried.
Not that way either, Kendra said. I'm not sure we need a comparison. Walking into a dragon's lair is bad enough.
Amen, Henrik said. Keep your wits about you. Be polite, but show no weakness.
Did you hear the polite part, Seth?
Calvin asked.
I know, Seth snapped. You're the boss, Calvin said brightly.
Kendra looked back at the horses. Thanks, Glory. Thanks, Noble. Good job back there. The horses bobbed their heads.
Stop saying goodbye, Seth said. You're jinxing us. We'll see them in a minute.
Henrik, do you have any paper? Kendra asked. Maybe we should write a quick will.
Come on,
Seth growled, holding his sister forward as she laughed at her own joke. Chapter 20. Dromedus. Kendra and Seth walked down, down, down. Soon all Seth could see was blackness. Glancing back, he could barely make out the moonlit door. Then even that disappeared. Another step, another. With one hand sliding along the wall, he blindly trusted that the stairs continued.
Can you see? Seth asked.
Yeah, Kendra said, her hand giving his a reassuring squeeze. Dim, though.
Should I get out a flashlight? Seth asked. Or does that make us too obvious?
It would make us pretty obvious, Kendra said.
You have amazing eyesight, Calvin said. I see pretty well at night, but this looks like the darkness in the middle of darkness, where from the highest mountain under a starless sky, all horizons are black and light has never touched. But we're beneath the mountain, in the deepest cave, where...
We get it, Seth interrupted. It's really dark.
You can almost take a bite out of it, Calvin said.
What do you see? Seth asked.
It's so black that I'm kind of imagining faint shimmers of color, Calvin said. Like when you close your eyes too tight for too long. Oh, wait, my eyes were closed. It doesn't make a difference.
I was asking Kendra, Seth clarified.
Just more stairs, Kendra said. They go as far as I can see. A long, straight staircase. Rough steps. Carved out of the rock.
Is it narrow? Seth asked.
Pretty narrow, not much bigger than the entrance. Hugo could touch the ceiling.
There must be another entrance, Seth said. A dragon wouldn't fit.
Unless he goes in and out in human form, Calvin said.
Good point, Seth agreed. Kendra, tell us if you see anything interesting.
Are more stairs interesting? She asked.
Barely, Seth replied.
They descended without speaking for a time. Seth was quietly glad to have Kendra's hand to hold.
I see the bottom, Kendra reported. Tell me when we get to the last step, Seth said.
About 40 steps later, she started warning him.
Five more. Four. Three. Two. Last one. What does it look like now? Seth asked.
A roundish tunnel cut through the rock, Kendra said.
Not like a natural cave? Seth asked.
No, Kendra said, like it was drilled or burrowed. It looks too even.
They walked forward in darkness. Seth kind of shuffled in the hope that his toes would bump against any unseen obstacle.
The ground is smooth, Kendra told him.
I see a door.
The tunnel ends at a door. Old, thick wood like the doors at the entrance. Eventually they stopped. Seth heard Kendra pull the door open.
More darkness, Calvin said. With the door closed, do you think it's even darker in there?
I think we've reached the limit, Seth said. This is big, Kendra said. Huge. Not a tunnel anymore. I can't see the far side. A big cavern, high ceiling.
Could a dragon fit? Seth asked.
Yes, Kendra said, leading them through the doorway.
Do you see a dragon?
Calvin asked.
It looks empty, Kendra said. I'm getting out my flashlight, Seth said. Keeping hold of Kendra's hand, he used his other hand to open his satchel and root around. He took out a flashlight and switched it on. The light seemed extra bright after the prolonged darkness. It was a good flashlight with a strong beam, but even so, it barely illuminated the far side of the vast cavern. A large rock pile littered most of the room, a jumble of dusty stone, perhaps the remnants of a cave-in. There was no dragon in view. Seth swung the flashlight beam around the cavern. There was no other apparent exit, no doors or caves. Is he even here? Seth asked. Maybe he's gone, Kendra said. It looks abandoned. Maybe there's another room. Can he walk through walls? Seth asked. A secret passage? Kendra wondered.
Hello? She called. Dromedus? We need your help!
They listened to the silence.
This is a bust, Seth said. That's what we get for listening to a dusty old knight who sat in the same room for 1,000 years. Should we be surprised he's not up to date?
The rock pile shifted, boulders scraping and rolling. Startled, Kendra and Seth both skipped away from the disturbance. The huge head of a dragon craned up from the rubble, nostrils flaring. The head looked cunningly hewn from rock, the top all knobby, a few tendrils dangling like whiskers from the stony mouth. Seth spotlighted the head with his flashlight. The sudden dust in the air made the beam of light look almost tangible. This head was bigger than Celebrant's head. Seth tried to imagine the size of the body attached to such a head. It had to fill much of the room, entirely buried in rocks.
"Why would the somber knight send you to me?" the dragon asked in a gentle, resonant baritone, dark eyes blinking.
"You almost gave me a heart attack!" Seth shouted. "Are you Dromedus?"
"Such is my fate," the dragon responded. "I did not mean to alarm you. Lying quietly can be a useful way to discover the intent of intruders. I believe you mentioned the somber knight. At least he fits your description. What is his interest in me?"
"We're the new caretakers of Wormroost," Kendra explained. "He thought you could help us."
"The somber knight has never taken much interest in dragons except to kill us," Dromedus said. "Why would he want me to advise caretakers?"
"Celebrant is a caretaker now, too," Seth said. "He has been attacking Blackwell Keep. The somber knight wants to save the sanctuary."
"As do you, I suppose," Dromedus said. "I removed myself from the affairs of wizards and dragons long ago. I will not raise fang or claw against a dragon, least of all the Dragon King."
"We just need information," Kendra said. "Celebrant has the scepter from Blackwell Keep. We need to find the other one. It won't harm the dragons, it will just protect us."
"And the somber knight believes that I know the location?" Dromedus asked. "Why would a defeated old dragon know such a precious secret?"
"You were friends with the wizard who founded Wormroost," Seth said. "He might have told you."
"Arcadius established Wormroost," Dromedus said. "The first and great wizard. Others helped him. Arcadius and I had a friendship of sorts, though in the end he despised me. I am a popular dragon to hate."
"Why?" Kendra asked.
"That is a long story," Dromedus said.
"We came a long way," Seth said.
"You are young," Dromedus said. "It will exhaust you."
"Give us the basics," Seth said. Kendra elbowed her brother. "We'd love to hear anything you're willing to share."
"How much do you younglings know about me?" Dromedus asked.
"You used to be the Dragon King," Seth said. We didn't know you were made of rock.
Dromedus gave a soft laugh.
Though I have an unusual form,